Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I mean, you know, here we are. We've made it till September. If you can make it till September, you can make it.
Well, well, I mean, we're still a few weeks away from September. So, I mean, I like your thinking.
But
I do that.
I'm thinking about cooler weather is what I'm thinking about. When it's 100 and 110, you know, you're looking for September because it'll start cooling down. I mean, you know, oh my gosh, it's been so hot.
Oh,
and
right.
And every day they say heat warning, you know, for the next 2 days. And the pond is going down, and the llamas are mad. I mean, it's tough in August. So we're not even talking that. As I say, it's nice that we're near September.
Yeah.
I don't know if the animals know that or not.
Boy,
the pond was going down. The ants got in the system.
Oh, no.
And, they stopped the dadgum pump. Can you imagine that?
Ants stopped the pump? Are you serious?
They did. All these ants got in there, stopped the pump and the water from flowing. And we had to call the water pump people. And I said, what's wrong? What's causing my water to go down so bad? He said, ants. And I go, you're kidding. He said, no.
Wow.
And, we had to call an exterminator to go down to the pond and where the equipment is, and they sprayed all that to kill the ants.
Wow.
Now, can you imagine that?
I didn't even know the ants could do that. I mean, that's...
Well, they did, let me tell you.
Wow.
They're powerful little things.
Clearly. I mean, did...
Yeah.
What did they do? Just swarm it, or did they clog it up, or what?
They clogged it up.
Wow.
It was probably... They visited each other, and there's probably 1,000 of them visiting in the pipes in the pump.
Wow.
Can you imagine?
No, I can't. I didn't.
The water wouldn't flow into the pond because of the ants, and he had to clean all that out and get the ants out to get the water going again.
Wow. So what did he have to do? Like, put the bug killer in there and then, vacuum them out or somehow irrigate the pipes or something? Or
I would say he vacuumed them out and got them dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
Who knew? I thought, yeah, I mean, ants. Who?
Anything can happen to a pump, let me tell you. It takes more service on that than anything else in life.
Oh, my word. You've had more people out there to work on that system, I think, than anybody in the world.
I know, and it can't keep it going. The waterfall can be going, and the pump for the pond, it may stop. I mean, you know, it's just crazy.
Wow. Man, I didn't know ants were that powerful and could clog up a whole system. That's crazy.
It was. And the water was not flowing, and really and truly the llamas were suffering. And we had to get them over here quick to get that thing going again, where the water, it takes a long time to fill up a pond.
Wow. Did it fry any of the equipment, like the pump or anything else?
No, we were lucky it didn't.
Ooh, yeah. Because
if it'd done that, I'd have sat down and cried. I mean,
instead of coming out to repair it, you'd probably called them up and said, just rip it out. Just be done with it.
That's it. Well, you know, we had just put a new pump on.
Yeah.
So if we'd ruined that, it would have been pretty bad.
Yeah. That would have been terrible.
Yeah. Well, and it was up a foot and a half yesterday.
Oh, really?
That's not very much for a dadgum pond.
No, that's not. Oh, my word.
It's usually 6 foot deep.
Ooh. Oh, so it's pretty deep then.
Yeah, it is.
Wow.
The llamas think it's wonderful. And they go down there every day of their life and stand in it. But there wasn't anything to stand in, you know, it was getting so bad.
Wow. So it barely even covers up their ankles now, I'm sure.
That's right.
Wow.
But it's cold, and that's the only thing that helps them.
Yeah. I mean, when it's that hot outside, they're looking for anything that's cool, and whether it's shade or, water or something like that. And when they can't find it, that could be real dangerous for them. They could
It
overheat.
could. And remember, they don't have a lot of thick hair right now because they were shaved this summer.
Yeah.
But
Boy.
they definitely were getting too hot.
Yeah, even being, still shaved like that, it's still when we're talking about temperatures like what you're talking about, it's dangerous for llamas, it's dangerous for dogs, it's dangerous for people. I mean, it can have. I remember last summer when it got really, really hot, you were talking about how you were trying to go out, get in the truck. And it was so hot you couldn't touch the door handle, or you'd burn your fingers. You couldn't touch the steering
That's right.
wheel. Yeah, I mean
It
that's
was really hot. And when they say it's 100 degrees out, can you imagine inside a truck like that?
Oh my word, yes.
Yeah.
Give me like 120 inside, 100 or more. That's how.
It'd be a lot more than 100. If it's 100 outside, it's probably 110 in there.
Yeah, that's true. Could be. I mean, I know they talk all the time about, make sure you get your kids out. And that's another thing to remember as we go back to school. Maybe kids are in the back seat of a vehicle, and maybe you're not used to having them there. Be careful. Watch out for things like that. Don't leave people or pets or
Oh
anything.
no, you couldn't do that at all. Anybody do that is really in trouble.
Yeah. And it's been a while. I mean, over
Because
this summer, you don't take
when
kids.
everybody goes out to a truck or a car, first thing they do is open all the doors and turn the air
Yeah.
where it'll cool off inside.
Exactly. I've
Oh,
seen people
mercy.
literally cook an egg on the dashboard before. Like literally, they'll
I've
crack it.
heard about that.
Yeah, that's kind of fascinating. It's like, wow, it's as hot as if I was to jump in the frying pan.
That's right.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is.
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
So, what kind of good things are happening this week? What's the updates,
Well, we've
news?
had two maturities.
Really?
Yes. I've sent out the notices, and they'll know who they are. Nobody else will know because I'm not allowed to say that. But anyway, we've had two good maturities. I think one came in 27 months instead of 36.
Oh, wow. So that
Yeah,
was
it was
early.
several months early. And one lady had 100 in, and she made 47,000 profits.
Wow.
So it was a good, 47%.
Wow. We talk percentages a lot. You always say, again, correct me if I'm wrong, it's profit margins, you go for about 1% a month based on the LE. And it's great. Percentages are always, super helpful. It's how you relate to numbers and metrics and data on a consistent level without any, outside influences. But when you throw a number in there, like a profit of $47,000, it's just that just kind of goes off. It's all of a sudden it becomes tangible. It becomes real. It's become, oh, $47,000 profit on just one policy. Imagine if you were in multiple policies. It's just, I think it really kind of drives it home. It's like, wait a minute, this actually is something that if I'm not doing life settlements now, it's something I probably should at least think about doing based on profit margins and the conservative nature of the investment.
That's right, because the profit margin is really good. And it's a lot better than it was when we started out years ago. We've got the premiums down low now. We've got the profit up now. And that's about the best you can do.
Yeah.
If you can get that profit up, And we have consistently, we've got the numbers down on how many months it is. And now we tell the people, you know, we're not going to do anything with high premiums. So they send us things that have good premiums. The profit's a lot better. There's some big companies that dropped out because they just couldn't get a hold. They haven't been there long enough. You know, you've got to have staying power when you're in this business. And a lot of people came late to the game. And so now it's the people that have been in business a long time that are doing all the bidding. And then we bid with a company in California that I really like. If you're bidding with them, you usually win the policy. And that's a good thing.
Wow. You know, we've talked for a while about how a lot of the early investors got in some of the early policies. It's that was before you really had the main focus of, you know, specifically bidding on certain types of policies. And so there's been a lot of investors, well, not a lot, a few investors who have kind of stepped back a little bit because of those first few policies that went over. But when it comes down to it, the whole game has changed. I mean, you hadn't quite figured out all of the, I don't want to call it the secrets, but the targeted focus, maybe, for the types of policies that you've been on, where, as like several years have passed, you've really kind of honed that in. You've really gotten to the point where, you know, the types of policies matter, but then the details inside the policies, what's in there, what's not in there. So if you can, kind of do like a compare and contrast of like the types of things that maybe you were looking for or saw early on, and I'm talking several years ago, versus what you see now to make them better.
Well, when we first started, we used several companies to give us the LEs. Now we don't use those companies. Now we're using more sophisticated companies that do a better job, because we need the best job we can get to tell people how long the policy is going to be and what the profit is going to be. So, you know, we honed in on that. We found out that the premium had to be a lot lower. So now our premium is very, very low. Anybody can afford the premium. So we've made a lot of changes over the years, and it's paid off. Most of the policies now are coming in on time or early. The last four or five policies, most of them have been early. Mm. Now, every once in a while, there'll be one that's gone over, but not many.
You know, if somebody maybe had gotten in on the early stages many, many years ago, they may have said, oh, you know, these went over a little bit, but between then and now, it's almost like a complete overhaul. The companies are better. The data is better. The info is better. The premium target is better. And it just seems like it's a whole different situation now. That even, would you say maybe even in the last 5 years, or would it be more like 10 years or 15?
Oh, yeah, I think the last five has made a complete turnaround.
Yeah.
The policies are much better that they're trying to sell us. We're buying more policies with shorter lifespans and a more serious cancer.
Yeah.
And we know now which cancers consistently kill people and which ones don't. So we know that now, and we're right on that.
Yeah. It seems like not only has the procedures gotten better, but now you have, you know, more experience. You know really what you're looking for. I would say that being it's almost like if you were to take an expert basketball player, say LeBron James, versus a high school kid. The high school kid may be good at what he's doing. He may be good at basketball, but, you know, having the years of experience, seeing all these different situations, being through, you know, all the trainings and the practices and seeing almost every scenario basketball could possibly offer, LeBron James has that instinct, that thing that you only get from experience. I would compare you to the financial version of LeBron James because of the same things.
How about that? That's saying a lot.
Nobody's ever compared you to
a lot, really.
Fame LeBron James Bagby.
That's right, but I can't jump as high. That's the difference.
He's also four times taller than you and me combined. So.
He is a little bit bigger, isn't he? It does make a difference what your size is.
Yeah.
And you want to be as big as a giant.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It pays off.
It's funny. Sometimes I'll see commercials because you don't realize, you know, when everybody's on the basketball court and they're all like 100,000 feet tall, you don't really realize how tall they actually are until you start seeing them compared to other people. I've seen some pictures of like several basketball players, Shaq, LeBron James, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, next to average size people, and it's like they're double.
Can you imagine? I imagine that when they go through all the doors and things, it's like this giant trying to get through.
Yeah.
And I don't know about cars, but I'll bet it's just as hard to drive a normal car when you're that large, that tall.
My word, I didn't think about that. I wonder how those, because they're really, really tall. I mean, there's not like when you and I get into a vehicle, there's not a lot of headroom. What do they do? I wonder if they have cars special made. Ooh.
I'll bet they do. I wouldn't doubt it a bit.
Wow. Interesting.
So. Yeah, because you don't think about it till you see them in one of the ads.
Yeah.
With a normal sized person. And I mean, and they're just looking down at them, you know, from way up high. So it makes a difference. And their shoes are so large.
Oh, Lord.
We know their shoes are custom made because they are so large.
Yeah. I mean, they're big people, really big people. But, you know, you can be big, but you could still be terrible at basketball, even though you might be big and tall.
But did you know people don't argue with them?
That's true.
I mean, when you're that big, people, I think, just say, yes, sir.
I would imagine they probably
be glad to handle that for you.
Otherwise, they're liable to step on you.
That's right. It'd be like a little bug. They wouldn't even see you.
Yeah.
Keep going. Walk right over you and keep going.
I wonder if any of them have cats.
I don't know about that. But, you know, people that big usually have small dogs. I've never figured it out.
Yeah.
They don't have a dog the size that they are.
Yeah.
You know, like a Great Dane or some really big dog. I've seen them on television. And it looks like their dogs are small.
Yeah. Like the dogs look like little action figures compared to them.
Yeah, and I always wonder about that.
Yeah, how do they step on them?
How can you enjoy this dog that's going to run around and you might lose him?
Yeah.
He's so small, he's running with you and you can't even find him.
Wow. I bet they have challenges. So
I think they do.
Now that you're compared to LeBron James,
yes,
you have.
I'll keep thinking about that.
Yeah, that'll go through
being
your mind
for a while. Tall.
Yeah. Wonder what that's like. Climb up a ladder.
I don't know.
But I mean, you do have the experience. You know, you've seen a ton of situations. I know that you've told stories before about how, you know, maybe a policy will come through and it'll look good on the outside. And then you'll look at it and you'll dig a little bit deeper. You'll start asking some questions, dig a little bit deeper. You'll read something in there, maybe in the fine print, maybe, you know, 800 pages in, and you'll say, there it is. That's why we're not going to bid on this. And you'll bypass it just because of those things. But you know what you're doing. You know what you're looking for. You know what you're not looking for. So when you're looking at a policy, is there anything that, like, how do you go through them? How do you say, okay, this is good, even though it looks good on the outside, maybe it's not so good on the inside? Is it little lifestyle?
Well, we're going to go to that back page. You know, we start out with, let's say that the cancer came 2 years ago. Well, we're reading about it and reading about it. And then it either says, you know, it has metastasized in five places. It's in the lymph nodes. It's in the lungs. Is it in the kidneys? Where all is it? Or is it, they say, coming right along? Treatment is working. It is decreased. If it says it's decreasing, you want to make sure it didn't decrease all the way through. If it did, you're out of the game. It's not even going to affect you because you can't buy something if it's decreased. Yeah. You know, you want one that's kept going constant. I remember some of the ones we've bought. This guy had cancer right below his knee. And I thought, well, that doesn't sound very serious. It was serious. We got to reading it, and it was spreading all the time. It was like in the bloodstream. It was everywhere.
Mm.
And I said, I think we'll buy that. We bought it, and the man was dead in 27 months.
Oh, wow.
That you know, it was a lot more serious than just a small cancer below the knee. At first, it looked like it. Looked like it wasn't very serious. But when we read more, we discovered it was darn serious.
Yeah. And I think another thing that's important to point out is that when you're bidding on policies, you're not going and taking them from people. It's not say, hey, we're just going to take your policy and, good luck. These are people that need to sell their policy. They need the cash. So, obviously if somebody's getting better, like you just said, if it's decreasing and they're doing better, great. That is fantastic. I mean, any chance for people to go on and have a long, healthy, wonderful life, we're all for that. But when it gets to a point where they need to sell it because things are getting serious and they need the cash to go ahead and, either do treatments or settle their estate or whatever it is, that's where you come in and you bid on the policy so that they can get the cash to do what they need. That's another important element to point out as well.
Well, and a strange thing happened this week. We're buying a policy. We've got the money in escrow and the person is sick enough. They had the broker call and said, can we get $50,000 right now? Said, we've got scheduled treatment, and it's going to be $50,000. Do you think we could get it early? And we thought about it, and we've done it before to help people, and we decided to go ahead and give them the $50,000 out of escrow, even though we're not closed yet.
Oh,
so
wow.
We did that to help them out. It was serious.
Yeah, yeah.
So we went ahead and let them have that much.
I know we talk about numbers and I know we talk about, investments and things like that. In order for somebody who needs to sell a policy, there has to be somebody to buy it. And that's all you're doing. It's not a thing of, hey, let's go see how many, policies we can take. There's got to be somebody in order to buy it. And then they can go on and do what they need to do. It just so happens that once the policy does mature, investors get paid as opposed to the former original policyholder. That's the only difference here. I think. Am I saying that the right way? Or
well, that's right. We've just changed ownership. We've changed beneficiaries. So we've changed ownership. It's now owned by a conglomerate of our clients. So instead of that person getting the benefit, they've already got upfront cash. So now our people get it when it matures. So that's the difference. We've went from one owner to another one and one beneficiary to the other one. And remember, a lot of people forget this. Nevada Trust handles the money. When a person passes away, the check comes to Nevada Trust, then they put it in everybody's account. It's simple. But they charge them a small fee for doing this, which is $250 a year. I mean, it should be $250 a month, but it's not. It's $250 a year, which is a very small amount for a year's worth of work that they do for each client.
Yeah.
So that's why we use them. We don't want to touch the money. We want a place like Nevada Trust that's bonded, insured, and that they cover us on that.
Yeah.
So that's why we do it that way. I don't know of many companies that do it the way we do.
I don't.
Most of them, they cash the checks. They do it themselves.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's so, what's the word? I always struggle with this word. I regulated, protected, secure.
It is regulated.
I know what's the
almost
right word.
Almost everything nowadays is.
All right.
And you have to be accredited to even do it. So you have to make $200,000 a year to do this, or you have to be worth $1 million without your house, because it's serious money, and they want to be sure you're qualified to do this type of investment.
Yeah. This isn't something for somebody who's, you know, if you want to go to Vegas, you know, and blow your last $50, maybe you'll hit a big time jackpot. Maybe you won't. Who knows? But this is not that. This is an investment designed to be conservative, so you don't have to worry about like the stock market where, hey, we're riding the wave today and then tomorrow it could come crashing down and lose everything. And the point of life settlements, once it goes from the original policy holder to you and your investors, is that this is something that people can do in a conservative way where they know they're going to get paid, because we're talking about life insurance companies, then they've got to have the resources on hand. You deal with companies that have been around for a very long time, so you don't have to worry, oh, somebody just, you know, started up last month. You think they'll make it? Who knows? They've got the foundation underneath them, and it's a secure way to grow your portfolio so that you're ready for retirement. And a lot of times, people who are in more policies I'm trying to say this the right way. They're set up for retirement better than people who will just come in and do maybe one here or there, and then maybe another policy here or there. The more policies people are in, it's almost like leapfrog. A policy matures, turn around, reinvest. Another policy matures, turn around and reinvest. And that's how it grows. That's how money grow. That's how money grows exponentially for people's retirement. Am I saying that the right way?
That's right. And of course, anybody that has retirement, you know, they've got IRAs or they've got 401ks. So there's all kinds of different ways to invest your money. You know, you can do it with your wife. You can both have an IRA. And it's, you know, it's a safety feature having it done by Nevada Trust.
Hmm. I think when you say profit margins, like you were saying before, $47,000, and you think, okay, this is secure, this is regulated, this is a life insurance company we're dealing with, we're talking about Nevada Trust as the trustee, there's just so many different layers of, you know, anybody who's trying to poke holes in life settlements, if they've never done this before, they're trying to find the downside. We've tried to find, you know, what could possibly, you know, how are more people not doing life settlements? You know, it's one of those things where you put all these things together and it just seems like a no brainer for some people. So again, I know you did the accredited thing before, but just a second ago, but again, just to reiterate, what does it mean to actually be accredited for people who are interested?
Okay. If you're not accredited, you're certainly not worth $1 million, because you have to be worth that. If you're not accredited, you may make $50,000 or $100,000, but you cannot speculate. And a lot of people speculate like in the stock market. And this is completely different. There's no speculation when you do this. And people have been doing it a long, long time. And what amazes me, there's more life settlement companies now than there ever was before.
Yeah.
Like in Chicago, they have a big one. Here in Texas, we have several. And, you know, it's now getting noticed everywhere that people do this and it works.
Yeah.
And that's the important thing.
It is. And that kind of, it should send a message to a lot of people that, you know, you've been doing this. I would say that you were ahead of the curve when it came to life settlements, as far as like really honing in. I'm not talking about the companies that will just buy anybody's, you know, life insurance policy because mama and papa want to go, you know, traveling and go see the kids and all that stuff. But for the specific ones that you're actually targeting, I think that has really caught on in recent years. Like you said, there's all these new companies that are popping up because they realize this is a very profitable investment for a lot of people. So I would say you were probably way ahead of the curve on that. But anybody, say, who maybe wants to do something conservative, maybe, you know, they're thinking, okay, I'm getting a little bit closer to retirement. I don't want to ride the Wall Street wave forever. I know, you know, all good things must come to an end. What goes up must come down. We have all the little fancy little sayings. And they're saying, you know, if we keep getting closer to retirement and something does happen, we could lose everything. And then either there's no retirement, or they'd have to go back to work at like 72 or 75 or something like that, and people don't want to do it. So anybody who's interested in making that leap into a conservative investment, but they're not accredited, annuities are a great option. And I don't want to pitch that as though it's a second option or an alternative or something else. For many people, annuities are like the number one thing. So it's not like, you know, one is better or worse, but there is annuities for people who are not accredited also, right? So how do those work?
Well, annuities are an old standby. They've been in business 100 years. Some people are new to the game, but your old line companies have been in business a long time, and they figured out the investment strategy years ago, and they've just built upon that, and it works. The people with us, we started in 2003, I guess, is when we started doing annuities. We've been doing them a long, long time, and we've found that annuities get better and better. They will give you lifetime income. When you retire, you can retire. You can get a bonus right now of 17%. And that's the first year. They'll give you that bonus in addition to what you're making. And so you've got a really good income stream. And every year you can take money out. You can leave it to your grandchildren, your wife, the husband. There's so many options with an annuity. And it's not like the stock market. It is never in the stock market. It mirrors the stock market, but it's not in the stock market. It's tax deferred. How many investments are tax deferred until you take it out? Mm. You know, I don't know of many.
Yeah, good
and
point.
And it's so many advantages. Let's say you don't want to take any money out. It'll grow and grow, not only tax deferred, but if you have an IRA, you know, you don't have to take money out to 73.5. So there's so many advantages. A lot of people do it for their grandchildren, you know, for college, or like you're going to give it to them as a wedding gift. I've had that happen. So they gave them a nice annuity, a $50,000 annuity for this young couple. And that's a great idea. There's so many great things you can do with an annuity. It's averaged 10% over the last 10 years. Mm. So it is the greatest retirement vehicle I know.
You know, and I guess for people who don't want to be actively engaged, correct me if I'm wrong at any step of here, but people who maybe don't want to be actively engaged, they don't want to get up in the middle of the night and wonder if they have anything. They don't want to, you know, buy and sell stuff. They don't want to. All they want to do is just go about and live their life. They want their money to sit there. You can let it sit in a bank account, which won't really make you much of anything at all. Or it could sit in an annuity and make a whole bunch of money. Plus the bonuses, like you talked about, the 17% on top of whatever it makes. And that's just free cash. That's not based on anything. It's like, boom, you're in. There you go. It's you got the bonus. So I would think for people who just kind of want to let things just happen on the back burner while they do whatever they do, whether they're, you know, still building up their portfolio in preparation for retirement or after retirement, it still grows and you don't have to do anything with it. Is that a good characterization of annuities, or am I missing?
Yes, I think it is. And everybody buys an annuity for a different reason. Lots of them, they just want their money safe. They want to have income every year, and they're just going to relax. They're going to travel. They're going to play golf. And that annuity is growing during that time. It's not sitting still. Now, let's say the stock market goes down. The annuity just sits there that day or that week. It doesn't matter. It doesn't lose money. That's what I love about it, is your principal is always safe in an annuity. And there's so many investments that your principal is not safe the first hour. So it depends, you know, what kind of investment you want. Do you want risk? Do you want a chance of losing it? Or do you want to just stay on the straight and narrow and take your money every year and let it grow?
I always come back to the story of the woman who's had the annuity for 20 years, and it was like $100,000 when she took it out, and it's like $104,000 now, and she's been taking money out for years. So it's not like it's one of those things where you have to, like, don't touch it or don't look at it, don't breathe on it the wrong way, or, you know, you're going to lose everything. The great thing with annuities is you can take, you know, some money out each year and still have it grow. It's not like it just, like, bleeds cash. I think that's probably one of the most wonderful things, as far as I can, you know, tell, is that you don't have to.
Well, you know, it's like crypto. You can do crypto, but you don't know where it's at.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
It's here today and gone tomorrow some days. And there, I don't think there's anything you can do about it.
No. There's no recourse whatsoever. And it's not
when it disappears out of your wallet, as they call it, I don't know what in the heck you do then. I just can't figure it out.
Me either. It's not like losing your keys and say, well, they were on the table last night. Where are they now? No, it's not how
That's
it works.
Right. And you can invest in real estate, like an office building, a big high rise, all these things. But they're not really very safe.
Yeah.
Because every once in a while, I hear about this huge building crashing and that one crashing. In Houston, Texas, they've been fighting over a building now for quite some time. Is who's going to get it? And the lender wants it. The owner says, don't foreclose. I mean, it's quite a deal.
Wow. So while that's getting hung up in all the red tape, nobody's advancing. Nothing's happening. So
no, it's tied up. It has been now for, I think, 5 years.
Oh, that's brutal.
Yeah. They can't sell it. I mean, it's just sitting there with the lender saying one thing, the owner saying something else. And it needs to be redone where they can rent it out or sell it.
Yeah. They can't
it's
do anything.
One of the buildings been there a long time.
Oh, my word. Yeah, I imagine they can't do anything with it right now in the shape
no,
that
they
it's
can't.
In.
I've been reading about it.
Yeah. Yeah, most other investments, whether it's, you know, stock market, real estate, gold, crypto, there's all kinds of risk involved with them. Market conditions can change, but with either life settlements or annuities, nothing affects it. There's no outside influence whatsoever that affects these things. And with the annuities, it can go up, like you say, all the time. It mirrors the stock market. It can go up. But if the stock market crashes, you've got that stopgap with an annuity where you still protect your principal. And you can't do that with
That's
really
right.
anything else I can think of. So
That's right, because it's not direct in the stock market.
Exactly. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
The old movie series Dallas. You remember that?
Yes, of course.
Okay. It was so popular, and it was on CBS. It started on April 2nd, 1978.
Wow.
Did you remember that?
I didn't know it was in the 70s, but yeah, I know it's been around.
And
for
it was on till May 3rd, 1991.
What? From 78 to 91?
And most people don't remember that. They just remember it was exciting. It was a story of a family feuding all the time. It was on Sunday nights. Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And everybody rushed home on Sundays to be sure they didn't miss it. People did not want to miss the show, Dallas. And if you remember, it was about the Ewings. And they owned this independent oil company, remember, Ewing Oil. And they had cattle and ranching land out at South Fork. Now, the funny thing is South Fork is still there. They're still conducting cheers. They still have a cheer every day out at South Fork.
Seriously?
And it's kind of expensive. Yeah, it's expensive to go out there.
Wow. I didn't know they still did tours.
Oh, yeah. It has never went down. People from everywhere in the world still come here and want to see the Dallas land and the house and the whole thing. And if you remember, J.R. Ewing was the oil tycoon. He was mean and he was sleazy and everybody loved him.
Yeah.
And he's the only one to have appeared in every episode. Did you know that?
I didn't know that either. Wow.
Yeah. And as you know, it was played by Larry Hagman. And he was the mean Ewing. And he affected everybody's life, as you know. So it had a lot of cliffhangers, if you remember. Who Shot J.R. was the 1980 episode. And if you remember, everybody was wanted to see who shot him. And it was the most watched show of all time.
Wow. Yeah, that question, you know, there's a lot of things that people that our society has picked up, like where's the beef, you know, all kinds of other slogans. But who shot JR? Probably the biggest one. Everybody knows that. The weird thing is I didn't realize that was the 1980 show. I remember it like it was yesterday.
I said it was 80. It wasn't either.
Oh.
I think it was, seems like it was 91.
Well, still.
It was toward the end. But it might have been 81. I'm trying to think.
I mean, my word. It's still.
No, I think it was 1980.
I remember it was like on the cover of TV Guide.
That's right. And Time Magazine listed as 100 of best shows of all time.
Wow.
You know, and there was 357 episodes.
Really?
And if you remember, after this, then they had Knots Landing, and that was from Dallas.
Yes, although I didn't watch Knots Landing, but yes, I remember that too.
I didn't either. But the cast was Larry Hagman, of course. Barbara Bel Geddes was the family patriarch, known as Miss Ellie. And they won a lot, 4 Emmy Awards because of her.
Wow.
And she got the award for 1980 Outstanding Lead Actress in a Drama Series. And I loved her. I thought she was great. But old Larry Hagman was J.R. Ewing, as you know. He was scheming. He was an oil tycoon, and he gave them heck. And then Jim Davis, if you remember, was a Western movie star that came to play the part, and he won 4 Emmys.
Oh, wow. That's impressive.
And Patrick Duffy, if you remember, was on there. Victoria Principal, she's the one that married Patrick Duffy on the show.
Yes.
And then Linda Gray played his wife, as you know. She was the alcoholic in the show.
Yep.
Steve Cannelly was on it. Ken Kershaval, who was really good, was on there. And Howard Keel. And then later, there was some other people, but they were the main characters. Ken Kershaval. Linda Gray, and Linda Gray gave an interview this week. That's what reminded me of all this. And she said that Larry Hagman did not like kissing. He did not want to kiss all these women. And, you know, he pretended like on television, you know, we all thought he was wanting to kiss everybody.
Yeah.
She said he was so funny that the first time he had to kiss her, he put peanut butter in his mouth. And that just about did her under. And she said the next time he did onions,
oh.
She said there wasn't anything he wouldn't do. She said that there was more stunts on this show than anything they'd ever done because the people were crazy. They didn't care what they did. But can you imagine an old boy putting peanut butter in his mouth? And although he pretended like he wanted every woman in town, he really didn't. He didn't want any part of it.
Wow.
And another thing I didn't know, when it debuted in April 2nd, 1978, it was just a five-part series.
Really?
And it wasn't going to, no, it was just five parts. And it was created as a pilot by the time it was aired, the producers, and said, this thing isn't going to work. We're going to get through this, and that's it. And they showed it on a late Sunday night, known for low ratings. And it proved popular enough. They said, we're going to turn this into a regular series. For 13 seasons is all it was going to be. But the five plot, it just kept going. And it was, everybody said it was a portrayal of wealth, intrigue, conflict, and power struggles throughout it. And it was an amazing deal. And the Ewing and the Barnes family fought all the way through it, as you know.
Yeah.
And it was all set in Dallas and Southport. And Jock Ewing, you know, Jim Davis, the last show he did was on this. And he died in 1981.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And Linda Gray is heading up all this stuff that's going to be auctioned off. And that
really?
Was what brought it to my attention, yes. And she said that she's going to auction off a lot of the scripts that she owns. They're going to auction off dresses that people wore, fancy dresses.
Wow.
And she looked back on all the years she was with Dallas, and she was thinking about Larry Hagman. You know, he died in 2012, at the age of 81. And she said he just didn't care. He kept laughing his way through this whole thing. And he pretended, you know, to be such a bad guy to cheat everybody. But in reality, he was funny.
Yeah.
And he had fun all the way through it.
I can't imagine, you know, doing the first kiss scene and, you know, you're going into it all serious and he's got peanut butter.
I know. It's pretty daggum funny. But, they're going to auction off some dresses that Joan Collins wore in Dynasty.
Really?
Can you imagine? And Sybil Shepherd in Moonlighting. So it's going to be a great auction. And a lot of the women are going to be there. They said Linda Carter, Linda Evans, a lot of the stuff from Kate Jackson, Cheryl Ladd, Stephanie Powers, and Joan Rivers. So there's going to be a lot of they're great things, and I thought people might like something from Dallas.
Yeah.
I mean, actually, one of the scripts or something like that. It would really be fun to have it.
Sure. And it'd be a rare collector's item, I would imagine. And they're probably going to.
It is a rare collector's item.
Yeah. I'd hate to, or maybe I'd love to see what they get for some of these things. I imagine a lot of them will go for a pretty penny, but boy, it'd be kind of worth it. I mean, geez, that's Dallas is an iconic show, and there will never be another one. You could never recreate that kind of magic. And the fact that they still do tours and they're expensive, and I'm sure they get the money for it too. I mean, people are willing to pay for it to still experience it after all these years.
I mean, and they say it was the most watched series that we've ever had. And I don't know who the writers were, but they were great. I mean, everybody tuned in every week. It was exciting. They were always wanting to see what would happen next. And as I said, there was 357 episodes of it.
Wow. It seems like Dallas had this certain element of authenticity. You know what you show, you know the storylines are made up, you know it's a little bit I don't know about realistic in some cases, but very authentic in others. And I think that's what probably drew a lot of people to it. And it was a lifestyle that most people probably don't get a glimpse of. At least back then, we didn't have social media and all that. You know, now we in some ways have too much information. But it was a lifestyle that people got a chance to look into. And it was like, you looked at it and you could romanticize the entire way of life. And it was just.
And it was a lot bigger than our lives.
Yes. You know?
I mean, that ranch was so opulent. The clothes were. They were elegant people. They all had their boots, their Western hats, the felt hat. I mean, they dressed to the nines.
Yes.
And then they fought like wildcats. And it was so good. I mean, you know, and it would show them going out at night or getting on the helicopter to go into Dallas.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I mean, that's money. When you have a helicopter to go into town, you made it. You know, so most
people
don't live.
You've got it made.
Yeah.
And then they showed their oil company in a high rise and showed them landing to go in. I mean, it was opulent all the way. And they fought over deeds to oil, to romance. They were devious people. I mean, it was great. when you can be that devious and get our attention, it's pretty good.
Yeah. And it takes a lot. You know, JR was the bad guy, but everybody loved him. I mean,
he made you love him.
Yeah.
Even though he was plotting against you all the time. He was trying to steal other people's oil companies and their wives, if you remember.
Oh, yeah.
Sue Ellen was this alcoholic that he didn't really want to have anything to do with. And they'd get in those shouting matches, if you remember.
Yeah.
Over what he was doing, you know. I mean, it was pretty funny. And I liked Ken Kirchhoff. I think he was either an oil man or a lawyer in it.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't remember which, but yeah. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, the whole thing. And it's to be able to carry the same amount of, I mean, it was a sexy yet devious show from start to finish. It never seemed to lose any of the magic that they had at the beginning.
The excitement. It was so exciting.
Yeah.
We wondered every week what would happen next.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then an episode, Who Shot JR? Everybody was getting ready for that.
Yeah.
We were all excited to see who it was going to be.
Yeah. Talk about a cliffhanger.
It was a cliffhanger. And the writers were fantastic.
Yeah, they were. Yeah. I mean, it was a great
show. We couldn't
show.
Imagine anything like that.
I don't even.
And there's never been anything like it.
No, there hasn't been since. And it's one of those things that where now I sit and think, well, you know, I'd like to go back and see it. And I don't think they play it on, like, there's not a, you know, like some
I've
networks.
I've never seen it.
I know it. It's a shame. There's just, I would think that some network somewhere would air those things, whether, I don't know, TV Classics channel or it's something. But
it would take us back down memory lane.
It would, in a good way. I mean, that was one of the greatest shows ever. Wow.
And they had the big hair. And Linda Gray talked about when she came here, she had some extra time one day, and she decided to go to the beauty shop. And she asked where to go, and they all said, Neiman Marcus. You cannot go anywhere else. And she said she was so shocked. You know, she said that she went to a luncheon and these women were talking and they said, oh, we have to go. And she said, why? Oh, well, ma'am, we have to go to Neiman's. I mean, it was just real simple. Women in Dallas went to Neiman Marcus. I mean, they made an appointment to go. And she said their hair was. A big bouffant, if you remember.
Oh, yes.
Everybody had big hair. And she was just amazed at it, all the women she met in Dallas.
Yeah.
And she said she really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Because she knows a lot of secrets, let me tell you.
I'm sure.
And she said they were playing pranks every day. There was something would happen to you. and they just pull it off, you know, like it was nothing.
That's awesome. I love it, it's great to see the show, but then it's neat to hear all the behind the scenes things and all the neat fun things that, you know, you never heard or anything like that. So that's pretty cool.
Okay, let me tell you one other thing. My son was going to college at that time, and he loved interesting things. And they were calling for a cast help, and he went down there, and they hired him and another college boy to be extras.
Really?
And they sat around under this tree and waited to go on. And I don't remember what all they had to do, but they were instructed, you never walk up to a star and talk to them. Oh. You keep your mouth shut and your head down.
Wow.
And it was really interesting, he said.
I bet.
But they informed him, you know, you do not go near the stars.
Yeah. Yeah. I would imagine that's probably the fastest way to get kicked off a set.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know what they made, probably $100 a day. Not a lot.
Yeah. Yeah.
And,
I'm sure.
And,
but...
they got to work, I think, a couple of weeks.
Wow. What a cool, that's
yeah.
cool. That would be really, even just to be an extra, I think that would be an experience of a lifetime, especially on that show.
I thought it was too. And, you know, he saw them close up and he saw them doing all these things, you know. And then they would go to their trailers lots of time and just wait until the actors would say, until it's time for them to go on.
Wow.
And they would just stay in those trailers.
That is cool. That is really cool. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website's AmericanFinancialMidland.com. There's a lot of great things on it.
I bet if you were to go down and have tried to be an extra on Dallas, they probably would have hired you full time to be a regular cast member.
You never know. You never know.
A missed opportunity.
That's right. A missed opportunity.
All right. Before we wrap, I know we already covered the accreditation for life settlements, but there are two risks. We should probably address those as well. So what's the first risk?
The greatest risk is if it goes over and you have a high premium. You need to make sure that the premium is low, and we don't buy anything with high premiums. So we learned that the premiums have to be low, and they are, and we tell you that in advance what the premiums are. The second thing is that when it matures, you get paid. You do not get paid interest before it matures. You get principal and interest all at one time.
Okay. And most
people
know
that. Of course, again, you must be accredited. Yes. Most people know you wouldn't get paid till the person passes away.
Okay. All right. So anybody, I would imagine, probably maybe calling you on Monday, people who either haven't done life settlements or annuities and are interested, either want more info or are ready to get started. So they do need to call and make an appointment. One last time, Faye, what is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.